With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Broads, and you're watching Nasty Knuckles.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Terry Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What is happening, Nasty?
What's up, Regalia? You look pretty tan.
Yeah.
Are you laying out by the pool or the
just
beach?
Just a little bit.
Why are you tan and I'm not?
Down in Marco Island.
I know. And you know what's crazy? We go down for the P-Hats and Spem meetings in Marco Island, which I have attended for 25 straight years as an equipment manager. But now we're on the other side of it, and it was one of my best meetings ever. Actually, I had a lot of fun with you and Aaron Krause and Richard Fasilio and the real Tovey, who is a beauty. But it was great to be down there. I just kept trying to find you, and now I know every time you disappeared for an hour, you're out on the beach by your tan. It's easy to see.
You got to get the vitamin D.
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding, but man, what a great time, and can't thank them enough. They're a sponsor, and this stick's gonna blow everyone away. People like say to me, "Oh, are you just saying that because
they're a sponsor and we're plugging it?" But
this is
for real.
I'm telling you guys, it's a game changer. The feel is, as they say, superior. It has a superior feel, which is true. The control you have shooting the puck, you could speak to that more than me. But it does. Even with me, like even you've heard guys on the team say how much better I shoot, which that's not very. Not much of an improvement for me, but yep. But with the stick, the release of it, which you could talk more about, obviously, and with the holes in it, the Airblade technology, the wind resistance of it, people don't think about that with the tape and all that, and the durability is ridiculous in the way the puck pops off the stick.
100%. And if we didn't believe in this stick before we went down to these meetings,
yes,
and having these conversations with NHL equipment managers and having the dialogue, getting in these locker rooms and the newest model, this Pro V 3 Sabotage, again, to all your points there, this thing is the lightest stick in the market, balanced and durable. But I'm looking forward to this year. This year, they're going to get an NHL guy in this stick.
For sure. More than one.
100%. We got a ton of interest with some of these NHL teams, and we'll see this thing take off. But it's
amazing. It's cool. We've been fortunate enough when we met them a little over a year ago, and just the progress they've made, and now already within a year and a half, I think this is the finals. I don't know how you could get better than this stick.
100%.
Feel like we joked around about, I wish we had cameras on the guys' faces when they actually pick, oh, what is this? Is this some kind of gimmicky thing? And they pick the stick up, and I'm like, whoa. Yeah. Even, we won't call them out, but other reps from other companies were like, we had one ask us, can I get a couple of these for my son, who's a pretty big-time player? So it's exciting, and I can't wait to see where this goes.
Yeah, no doubt. And they've poured a ton of time, energy, and money into this, the R&D. It's no joke. I mean, 5 or 6 patents on this bad boy, so like I said, we believed in it. We've been using it. I've been talking about it, but I feel like this thing is ready to take off. So it was nice to see this in the context of pro sports, obviously with pro trainers and guys that actually had a legitimate opinion on sticks to feel this thing and handle it and give an opinion back. So looking forward to that.
Yes, it was awesome.
Changing topics. Big congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche.
Yes.
Huge effort, huge win. Nice to see them knock off the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, that's a tough team to beat. I mean, no which doubt. They showed. I don't think many people... You knew they had a good team, but, yeah. like, to get back again and even force Game 6.
No kidding.
You know, like, resilience. You could see they kind of ran out of gas, which is to be expected. I mean, God. But you're right. Congratulations, Colorado. Our buddy Cube.
Yeah.
He made an appearance really quickly right after. He didn't get to play in the final game, but obviously they dressed the guys. And if you haven't seen the clip, I'm sure Baller will have that up with him putting a little nice dent in the Stanley Cup. He made his mark on it for sure.
Nice little recovery on the play, too. Stuck in the crowd.
Somehow he was late.
Yeah. No. no
we've what, talked what to him about that.
On the ice
where
the cup,
was he?
Floating around where the whole squad is already set up.
He has the cup.
Typical Cube. Congrats to Cube. Amazing turn of events for him. Coming from the Flyers, going over to the Avalanche and winning a cup.
Yeah, that's not a bad, you got to give call. He played quite a bit, too. For some reason, he wasn't in the lineup. Maybe the last two games may have just been the last one, but good for him, man.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
A great kid. It was kind of funny that I didn't realize it was Cube at first. It came flying in there. Dying. I was just laughing, and then he kept showing it.
The zoom in of the cup and the dent.
Oh, my God, there's a dent.
I was like, oh, my God, this thing hasn't even been to the party yet, and it's already damaged.
That was great.
All good. So congrats to them. What a hell of a playoffs
yes.
in general, right?
It was great.
Great playoffs, great finals. I mean, you can't ask for anything more as a hockey fan, in my opinion.
Right. I agree.
And then just John Stevens.
Our
good friend John Stevens, former coach, former colleague. The news broke yesterday. I actually spoke with Johnny yesterday, and it hadn't been released. But since then, it's been released. But now assistant coach with the Las Vegas Knights.
That's a huge pickup for Las Vegas. Not only is he a good coach, but the human that he is.
Yep.
Just you've talked about him. I've talked about him. What a great pickup for Vegas,
yeah,
getting him. And I'm not sure what the connection is there, or either they just knew about Johnny, what kind of a man he is. And
it's probably the case.
It's a small
tight knit group of people in the hockey world. And when you're that caliber of a coach in person, and you're trying to hire a assistant coach or a couple assistant coaches, obviously he would top the list. And
yeah, he's a
great human, and great we're going to get him on the pod next
yes,
couple weeks.
Next so couple weeks, he's coming
looking
in.
Forward to have Johnny on.
And his two,
beach.
And his two boys are pros. They
yes,
play.
They, are.
They play pro, which I met them when they were born. When they were infants.
Yeah.
They've been friends with my daughters, but it's happy to see them getting to play too. And it's just awesome for Johnny because I'm not sure. I didn't even realize the whole Dallas thing went down with everyone. I just thought it was bonus. And then I think you told me, no, they got, there's cleaned house. So I'm happy for Johnny. It didn't take long, did it?
100%.
You're not going to go wrong there.
As far as squeezing in a coach into an organization. And talking to Johnny, it sounded like all their contracts were up and they just didn't renew them. Just kind of let them go and kind of had a different direction, which happens in sports. Just the way it goes. And then shifting gears once again, our buddy Alex Lyon, I coached him with the Phantoms. He was here in the Flyers organization, obviously. Wins a Calder Cup with Chicago Wolves.
Yes.
Props to him.
Very happy for him. And
yeah, no doubt.
I told him he's a bit of a rebel, flipping off the camera. He got a nice little two-game suspy for that. I was texting with him, and he's like, yeah, I got two games for the
Did
old.
Did he give him a suspension for that?
Two games.
Going into next season.
Yeah, going into next
that
season.
That is hilarious. I did not see that. Oh, my God. I did not know that.
I said, you're such a rabble, bro. And he's like,
what was he doing anyway?
I don't know.
Who's he flipping the bird to?
I don't know. We have to find out.
We
have
to find out.
We'll get him on. We got to get him on and figure out what happened because he's a great kid, man.
He really is. It seems out of character for him to do something like that, unless it was
I kind of love
deliberately
it. Just
to
because,
the cameraman.
Yeah, let's just there has to be something behind it. Hopefully, we'll find out.
Yeah, we definitely.
But congratulations, man. He's a great kid. He was such a hardworking guy from the day Flyers signed him. If I'm not mistaken, he played at Yale. I remember him coming in. He's just a great kid.
Yeah, grounded.
And, thought he's a good goalie, too, 100%. To be honest with you. But, it's
– tough position.
It is. So, congrats, Alex. You're the man.
Yep. And one more congrats. our good friend Zach Hill.
Yes, on retirement.
How many years did he work for the Flyers?
Well, he'd been there when I got here in 94, so he was here before that. Yeah, so it's been a long run. I tell you, and we're not just saying this, this guy's the best public relations guy in any sport. I don't care who you know, there's not a better one than this guy. Yep. And I said to him the other day, I was like, I don't want you to retire. I'm not even there anymore. Yeah. But I'm like, you're too good. And he goes, it's time. It's time. I've had a great run. But, man, congrats, Zach. We love you. He's been so good to us, helped us out with a lot of things.
No doubt.
And he is the best. And it's going to be tough filling his shoes. I'm not sure who will be the guy, but if it's Joe, good for Joe. But it's going to be Joe Seville. It's going to be hard filling those shoes. He's the best.
We'll have to get him on the pod once he settles down and the dust clears there. But appreciate everything he's done for the team and including myself while I was there. Just a quality human. Did his job to his T, to a T, and above and beyond.
And above and beyond, for
one
sure.
Of those guys, so
for sure.
Congrats, Zach. And that brings us into episode 77.
77, boys.
Crazy, Nass. 77. I know. 77 with our boy, Hunter Brody, Rhodes Media.
He'll be didn't put anyone to sleep because he's not very, enthusiastic.
I'm not sure if he brought the energy today, but.
I bet you he brings it.
I bet you did.
With an iced coffee. I'll bring it.
Coffee.
I'll bring it.
And a bagel in his pocket.
He might have a Bagsy in his pocket when he gets here.
All right. Episode 77 presented to you by Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Check them out at curaleaf.com for all your pain management, anxiety management, and sleep management needs. Episode 77. Let's go, Nass.
Let's go, Riggs.
This is Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemeyer. And this week, we're very happy to have our very good friend. He is the president, the founder, the CEO, everything, creator, host of Broads Media, and he's on 97.5, The Fanatic, Mr. Hunter Brody. What's up, brother?
What's going on, fellas? It's nice to be here in person. Look at this place. This is beautiful. Beautiful. I've since being retired, right, the hockey atmosphere, it died off a little bit. It's nice to be in the locker room setting.
Yes, exactly. We appreciate you. And this is a shop, but right now it's the studio. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Look at these twigs. I'm looking around at the gloves. I used to always be a four-row guy, Bauer specifically. Then in college, I went CCM four rows, and I enjoyed it a little bit more.
Well, you weren't dropping them on the ice like this guy, were you?
I did once, and it ended bad. Bad. My nose was touching my cheekbone. Chopsticks back in the EHL days. They didn't have, they had chopsticks up there.
Yeah, chopsticks.
Yeah. Worst case scenario ever, too. We were up, and then we were long. We won in overtime, though. The fellas had my back there late.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
It was a big momentum swing for the other squad.
Yeah, it happens. I've been there.
Yeah.
You were saying before we hopped on here that you gassed all your hockey equipment, became moldy. Nasty's got to get you some new gear.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
back on the ice.
That needs to happen, yeah, for sure. So when I moved into my house with my fiance, rule number 78 was no smelly equipment in the house. I'm thinking, okay, I'll go get some sort of bucket to throw my equipment in. We'll keep it outside underneath the roof. It'll be all right. I didn't check on it for like a year, so I decided, let's go play pickup with the fellas. I opened that box. Holy shit. It smelled horrible. It was green. It was moldy. So now I'm trying to pick up the pieces throughout my buddy's equipment, old equipment.
I got you.
Yeah.
We got you. Settlemeyer Skate Sharpening has you.
How about some Tovies?
Dude. We'll get into that later, but their newest stick, I'm telling you. We got to get it Johnny Hockey's hands. I know he's got deals making mills.
What's Warrior?
Yeah, right?
Nothing.
Best stick in the league, a Tovey, man. We got to get it in his hands.
We'll get it in his hands.
Revolutionize the hockey game.
Yes, for sure. But, bro, seriously, thank you for coming on, man. We love to have you in. We knew that we might not get you in, but you told your old lady, hey, listen, I'm going.
Yeah. It was like Zoom, real life, real life. It's like, let's work the schedule around here, get the coffee, and here we go.
Get the iced coffee. We want to start it off by talking about, obviously, the Flyers' new coaching hire, Mr. John Tortorella. What are your thoughts, brother?
I like it. I like it. I think that there were some options this offseason with Trotz, and then Bruce Cassidy came up out of nowhere there when Boston let him go. And I think you had some options here, but they're all good options. Right. So especially with last year, with how pathetic the season kind of spiraled out of control, I think you got someone with some structure, some attitude, some oomph, and they might cross the line a little bit. But I think last year snowballed so out of control that this might be the perfect time for that voice, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I agree. We said this before, and I actually spoke to you last night there, bro. It's, at the very least, he brings an attitude and identity, right? These guys are going to be working. There's going to be that jam that we've missed probably the last couple of years, not just this past year. So we've always talked about John Tortorella being a good hire before he was picked. I mean, obviously, there was a couple other candidates, even Rick Tocchet thrown in there. And not saying that these guys wouldn't get the guys to play and wouldn't bring an identity to them, but I think Torts is known for that. You know, shelf life is generally pretty short in most teams he goes to, but, you know, they're going to have to bring in a few pieces to help complement his style and his attitude. So,
yeah, no, I agree. And it's weird because I like to use other sports sometimes to shape an opinion, if you will. But with the Phillies, they just fired Joe Girardi. And right. I remember saying, well, there's got to be a lot more than just Joe Girardi being fired for this team to turn it around. And it really did turn around with just the firing of Joe Girardi when Rob Thompson came in. And I'm like, hold on a second. Maybe there's more to this. So I'm using that maybe to sell myself a little optimism on, I'm not telling you this team's going to be great, but I don't think last year was really who they were. I thought they played bad hockey, but I don't think they have bad hockey players.
Right.
Plus, health played a big factor, but sure. I don't know. Was the firing of Joe Girardi maybe an example of what can happen with the culture shift here of whatever happened with AV, which there was some noise and speculation inside of the locker room before last year happened. And I don't know. Maybe the tone being changed from Tortorella would be something to compare to what happened with the Phillies.
Yeah,
maybe I'm being too optimistic. I talked to Jim Jackson recently, too, and I had him on 97.5 The Fanatic as a guest as well over the last week, and someone called in after and goes, he's working through NBC, so he's going to try and sell you optimism just because that's his job. But I know JJ outside of it. He really believes that there's more to this team, and I do, too, and I know right. It's a hard sell right now, but they're not as bad as what last year showed. It's impossible. They have too much talent to be bottom four in the NHL.
100%. And saying that, like, you said it perfectly, like, health was – that was the biggest thing last year. I mean, we all can probably agree on that. Even if you have that full lineup, maybe still they're sneaking into the playoffs. Maybe they're not, but they're not – they don't finish where they finished. But Torts, I worked with him three times, and he's a great man, which we've talked about 100 times, but he pushes you and he expects you to work hard. As a player, like, you have to understand your coach is going to do that. Michael Delzato was telling us that he's actually calmed down, like, the whole snap shows a lot of the time, like, from when he was in New York. You know, he was a kid there, and Torts was, you know, he's going out with Brooksy. Riles had a great question talking of that with the media with Torts, because, you know, he's got some great clips.
Of course. I'm getting ready for that, too, from personal experience.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Get into Tortsy.
Like, are you getting ready?
I want to see
head to head with Torts.
Yes, because I want to see who's more fired up.
Yeah, I want to see it.
When you ask that question, he's going to pop up at that podium because you're going to be the loudest guy when he's getting asked.
Most
and
intense.
I can't wait for this.
I don't know. I'll have to see how it goes in the flow of it here. I don't want to go too. They teach you this, right? The number one rule is you don't make it about yourself.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go in there and start saying,
guns
hey,
blazing,
see, let's see what Broads can do here against Torts.
But
my best friend plays for Columbus right now, Eric Robinson. And I asked him about Torts. Loved him. I mean, absolutely said great things about him. The more and more you speak to people who played for him, that's the response that you get.
100%.
There's going to be the occasional people, Dubinsky or anybody else who throws things out there on social media. But then I go back to what I'm hearing about Boston. And Bruce Cassidy apparently lost the locker room. Bruce Cassidy is an amazing coach. Every coach is going to have a couple players by the end of their tenure that might look at them a little bit differently. That's just reality of it. I want more power play time. I want more PK time. I'm a healthy scratch or whatever it is. So I look at it that way more than anything else, which is, I don't know a coach where 100% of the locker room is always on board. That's more of just the nature of coaching.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's exactly. 100%. And to your point, I think that's exactly what happened last year with the Flyers is AV lost the locker room. However that happens, you know, you lose a few games, and it's a communication thing. You lose a couple players, and then it trickles down.
Ten in a row.
Or ten in a row, two times, or three times.
Five times.
A lady.
You know, seven times. Right?
but it happens, say, slowly, and then eventually it's, like, out of control, right? And that happens with the best coaches that ever played, you know, ever coached the game. So, you know, we've heard a ton of positive things from Torts. Yes, you're going to have some disgruntled players. There always is, right? Guys are always trying to get more playing time. They're trying to get in and out of, you know, in the lineup, obviously, for guys that are not playing. I think it's always about communication and how it's communicated to the player. I think that respect is built. But over time, especially when you start losing, things get hairy, and then people get fired, and then here we are. So who do you think it might be Torts' assistants? Any idea?
Yeah, I don't know, honestly. I haven't really put too much thought into it. I've just kind of been thinking about Sean Couturier's health or Ryan Ellis's health, and now there's Joel Farabee news, which is disappointing.
Super disappointing.
To start the season, because he's one that, you know, I'm looking for a big year out of him, and I still think he can do that, of course, but it just, I don't know. Have you guys heard any info on how it happened? I'm assuming by the timing of it, and I was doing a little bit of research and asking some people, it seemed like it's not one of those where they just waited a long period of time from when the season ended. It seemed something happened relatively soon while, you know, working out in the off season and skating. So that, at least for whatever it's worth, matters to me, because I'd be I don't know. The Ryan Ellis thing, I'm kind of hearing some bad news in regards to what's going to happen next year. So
yeah,
I don't know. In terms of the assistant coach, I haven't put too much thoughts on it because I'm just focusing on health. That was such a devastating point last season.
Yeah, sure was. And his main assistant was Brad Larson, who's now the head coach in Columbus. So it will be interesting to see, you know.
I heard they like Mike Yost still.
Oh, and the guys love him.
I was going to say.
Rightfully so.
It was brutal last year under him a little bit towards the end and all, but I'm not going to blame him for they was throwing an awful hand and played it the way they did. So Flyers fans might get upset to hear his name resurface, but hearing how much, like you just said, the guys love him and all, that's the job of the assistant coach, is to sort of play that fine line of being there for them, being more player-friendly and whatnot, while still obviously doing his job. But maybe it's Yo.
Yeah, could be.
I think that's a great pick. I mean, obviously there's a lot of potential assistant coaches, but for a guy to go in a head coaching job and still want to go back into an assistant coaching job, he's been head coach before, obviously, as we know. The report is he's very well respected, and like you said, like, he's the buffer zone to the head coach. You know, he has a good relationship with the players, put a smile on his face, shoot the shit with the guys. I mean, that's what his job is, but it needs to be a humble guy in that position that's able to step back and, you know, not think that I'm the head coach, right? And go back to that assistant coaching role and be okay with that. So if, as long as he's okay with that,
right?
I think that's a great pick. I mean, I from what I see, is like Mike Yo, and from what I'm hearing, is a solid guy. So we will see. But to your point on the injuries, man, that's the biggest thing, right? You could build the best team on earth if you're not healthy. You really have no chance of finding your way to a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I know. And the defense, too. It worries me here because the Provorov thing, I have a fine line. As a number one, when no one's next to him, it turns into a little bit some uncomfortable situations.
Right.
When he's a number two, he's great. Like, he's very good, very good. So there's this outrage, and I tie this together with Flyers fans because I see it a lot, I hear it a lot, I take phone calls a lot on the radio. So that's sort of the voice that I constantly hear. So, you know, it's this Provorov, get him out of here, this and that. And it's like, I get it. Trust me, he does have some things that bother me at times. But he's the number two. Like, I think that there's a huge, important role that matters. And 100%. When he's that, he's really important. So I'm kind of torn with the Provorov thing. But the outburst he had towards the end of the season, it's just a fascinating storyline, that's all. But I think what he brings to the table is a number two is something that I can't devalue.
Right.
But when no one's next to him, he struggles.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, about the only person in the league that might not struggle as the number one guy with no one with him is Cale Makar. I mean, he can play alone.
Fair point.
Four forwards on the ice and him playing.
Exactly. No more five on four. I mean, five on four. There's one man short. Just play with him.
I think Provy gets picked on because he was a first rounder, because he's the number one guy. And, you know, he had a season where he got to play with Niskanen, and they were lights out, let's be honest. And Provy could play 30 minutes a night. People don't understand how many minutes he eats. and what he does. That's just, and I am buddies with him. I get it. People are like, oh, he's your friend.
I like him, to be fair. Yeah, I like his game.
But I don't, you have to have someone there to play with him. That they can play that, you know, a first pairing D, which have they
I guess this is, and this isn't me speaking. I'm speaking for the fans that do have the outrage. Is their concern, we thought maybe he would be that Matt Niskanen or he would be that Ryan Ellis, where he's the one maybe helping out that number two that right. I'm claiming Ivan Provorov is.
Right.
I'm just playing the other side. Rock. Exactly. Right, right. Is that what maybe the ceiling was for them in his eyes? And who knows? Maybe he can still grow into that. I don't think that's out of touch or outrageous to think so when you look at his skill set.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I agree with that. Maybe he hasn't developed into that yet. You know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I think he was, you know, Ellis was signed as the number one and Proby number two, right? So you have this veteran presence with you to help support maybe your weaknesses. And it takes time to be, you know, to be that rock, you know what I mean? That number one guy. So I'm certainly not discounting it, but it certainly shapes the team in a different way when you don't have that number one guy and he's expected to be that guy. And being the rock, then having that number two lean on him. So I think, I guess we'll see. I mean, Ellis's health is still questionable, and I'm not sure who's available on D as a free agent.
Yeah, I'm not hearing good things about Ellis either.
No, I know.
Yeah,
it's not a good situation.
Either. No. Like LTIR, things like that.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because, you know, I feel like there's been enough time to at least have a little bit more knowledge on whatever the injury is.
Yeah.
Do we even know what happened with the injury at this point?
I really don't know, but it seems like it might have been more than one thing. But
and there were stories, too, about it. I mean, I'm in the press box a lot. Is he there? Is he
I know, right? The rink? Well, he's certainly not in the team photo at the end of the year, so.
What did that actually happen? Yeah, I thought people pointed him out at some point, but I lost.
No, I don't think he was there. That. He wasn't there.
Maybe he wasn't there.
He wasn't there, but I know he wasn't in town.
A mile away.
He wasn't in town for a while. Like, he wasn't even here, like, for a month or so.
Okay.
So.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Just finishing the thought on Proby.
Yes.
Maybe this offseason. You know, mentally prepares to be the number one. You know what I mean? Maybe going into last year, he was, you know, just like the mindset thing. All of a sudden, his D partner is gone. Now he's taking on a role that he didn't expect to. Maybe he wasn't mentally ready. Who knows? You know what I mean? Every offseason, guys mature. You see, you know, first year guys mature. Second, obviously, everyone's maturing. Who knows? I mean, but I'd like to think Proby, just like the rest of the squad, come back better,
yeah.
Bigger, better, faster, stronger, you know, and
more facial hair. Place.
Yeah,
Mighty Ducks, baby.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it's funny, like, that's what we're all hoping for, and then you get this about, you know, Farabee. You know, you're just like, gee, right? When's this shit going to end, man? And
hopefully it didn't happen on the golf course. The old backswing.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Speaking of, I got my first round in quite some time the other day. Took me way too long to get out there. 102. Here's my issue. Look, I don't think my score, it screams horrible, obviously, but I don't play horrible, if that makes sense. I'm out there, good times, fairway. I might use my foot wedge here and there, but I'm playable. 102 screams I'm in the woods. I can't find my ball. I don't lose balls. I'm triple putting. I'm four putting. Now I'm a snowman. I'm bogey putting. It turns into eight. That's my issue.
Right,
so
right.
When I say 102, 103, 104, you get, oh, shit, I don't want to play with bros. That's not really the case. I'm telling you. It's a good time. I play old man golf. I drive 192, poking it out there. My 3-iron hits the same as my 6-iron. It's all the same distance. None of it changes. Old man. My grandpa outdrives me. I shit you not. But I'm just poking.
We got to get this guy on
that. I'll take 102 all day long.
Yeah. And it's not a pretty one. Like you say, it's opposite of what you're doing. I'll tell you who you need to golf with, and he's actually a good golfer, is Ken Hitchcock.
Okay.
Old Hitch. So I play with him one time, quick story. And it's me, him, and Homer. Just us three. So I'm riding with Hitch. And tees it off. This ball's gone. We're playing a Lynx course over in Williamstown there.
What'd you play?
What's it called?
Scotland Run?
Scotland Run.
Okay, so we're playing, that's where I just played.
Okay, so we're playing. So first tee, he hits it to the left and all that shit. You ain't finding that ball. Like, not a chance. So I was right in the middle of the fairway, not a big deal. But anyway, so we drive over, and I'm letting him. Like, he ain't got to walk. right? Not being an asshole, but he's not going to walk. So I drive him over to the area. It's up on the hill. His ball went in the hill, right? Homer walks because he's, you know, he's a rockhead.
What do you mean?
He walks the course. He doesn't like to jump. Oh, yeah, he'll walk the course.
That's his therapy.
Once in a while, he'll jump on the back of the golf cart if it's a really long, but he walks, right?
That's insane. I do 4 hours in a cart. When I get home, I'm sleeping for 6 hours. Well, I can't even imagine walking a golf
course.
Yeah,
he walks. He loves it. So anyway, Hitch tee shot goes, it's gone. I'm like, Hitch, here, I'll get up there, help you find it. No, young Derek, I got it, no problem. Next thing you know, he's hitting from right beside all that shit. And I didn't say, of course, I'm not going to say.
Nicely fluffed up.
Oh, yeah. Hits it to the right over in that shit. You know the course, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a dog leg, and it comes back to it's par five. It goes into shit. Same thing. Hitch, let me help you. Nope, young Derek, I got it. Hits one. You know where that green is. Hits it into the woods. Again. Now, he's not taking strokes on all these. He just somehow found the ball.
Yep.
Ends up, literally, it's probably a nine. And he goes, put me down for a par or a bogey there, young Derek. And I'm like, Homer goes, what? He goes, that's about a 10, man.
Yep.
So you talk about your foot wedge. Hitch has one of the best foot wedges I've ever seen. But
I have a buddy, too. We always joke around like, oh, you know, we know that he's going to say, put down a six. Put down a six. You dropped six times. You know what I mean? But look, when I'm out there, I get some friends that get aggravated, and it brings the mojo down. That's my number one rule is if you get a bad hole, whatever. I don't want to see you get all frustrated, kicking the dirt. Like, we're here for a good time. Yeah, don't let hole seven ruin the next 12 holes or the 11 holes. We're having a good time. I'm here for a good time. So keep the energy high, but low at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
I've got Riles. We're in a few golf tournaments this summer.
Start shotgunning beers.
Well, that's when it gets crazy. I think he does something else. Other than the beers. I was going to say. Yeah.
Well, sometimes when I do that, I start overanalyzing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wait a second.
Too dialed in.
I'm thinking of my backswing.
You're focused.
What's going on here?
He's in flow state.
He's in flow state. Exactly. We're trying to find flow state. I still haven't found flow state in golf yet, but still working on it.
I got another thing on the D pairing, though, if we're just going to let this thing go for a run here.
Yeah, sure.
I am weirdly optimistic, and I brought this up to you on the radio, about Sanheim and Risto. Last year, they bothered me a little bit, but when they were good, they were good. Like, they had some games where I'm like, whoa, can we get this more often? When they had some defensive zone breakdowns, I was like, whoa, maybe we should bench them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Tortorella, I think with this whole D-zone, the structure, big body in Risto, if they can structure him and get him to play a sound game, allow Sanheim to be that offensive-minded guy.
Yes.
I think there could be something with that pairing through John Tortorella that could be night and day from all the defensive zone lapses. So I'm probably too optimistic on some things here with this team, but that's one that I'm intrigued by, that duo. If they even stay the same, I don't know, maybe they like York, because I think York is not ready for top minutes, but he's probably, in my eyes, maybe a little bit better than playing 5-6 minutes.
Right.
But yeah. Sanheim and Risto might be that 3-4. So I don't know. Probably better suited for the final D pairing, York, that is, than obviously taking a bigger jump with one. But I don't know. It's where I'm at, kind
of. I agree. And Sanny really stepped up his game a lot this year. It was nice to see. And, you know, it took him a few years. Not that he has played awful. He's had spurts where you're like, whoa, like the offensive side jumping into the play. That's huge, especially these days in hockey. And he had a way better season last year, I thought.
100%.
Like, I mean, he was jumping into the play, getting chances. Christ, like, I say this to him, like, missed the net. He could have had way more goals, like, because he had a lot of grade-A chances, which is great, you know, like, for him.
Absolutely. You know, I think with a guy like Sanny, like, I coach him with the Phantoms, and obviously he's an offensive guy, unbelievable skater, puck possession guy. I think, you know, especially when you move to the NHL level, like, you play a little bit more, a lesser role, and you have to be a little more cautious with your opportunities, right? I mean, you don't want to get burnt. And I think it takes guys some time to get that confidence to you know, carry the mail sometimes and carry the puck, you know, from the D zone into the offensive zone and know that his partner's got his back and he's not have to play both sides of the puck, you know. And I think Risto is that guy. I think, you know, with a little more, you know, structure with Torts. Not that, you know, the Flyers coaching staff was telling these guys to have brain farts, but you know, I think it's a little bit more emphasis on taking care of the house first, and then and, you know, building up and playing away from the net. Again, I agree with you. We talked about it last night. I think the pairing itself, is, as long as the guys are playing the best they can, you know. But the brain farts happen, right? I mean, that's just
yeah. I mean, it's gonna happen. It's a fast game, bro. You know,
that's just like taking opportunities.
Bro, you know.
And,
wait, when in danger, the glass is your best friend.
Yeah, that's the
glass
truth, right?
It out, let a winger curl.
To fight another day.
Pick it up.
Yeah, man.
I used to get yelled at all the time just because, I don't know if I told you this before. I know sometimes we resurface some laughters of my career. But, man, I'll tell you what. Sometimes 20 seconds, whew, and out. You know, yeah, I got my 20 seconds, and my first, who happened to be my best friend in college, we went to the same school, but he was a junior when I was a freshman. So here I am as a freshman. I'm getting out there for my 5-6 minute rule. I was a sixth defenseman squeaking in the lineup here, but I'll use the glass, and like it's like, hey, I'm off. It's
yeah,
I need more time than 20 seconds. I was like, bro, I'm like, 20 seconds
I'm
is
gassed.
All I got. Give me 20 more of the pucks in the back of the net.
So 100%.
When you're in desperation mode, use that glass.
Oh, no
let
doubt.
Your wingers curl right into it, baby.
There's a lot of players that played in the National Hockey League a long time. Justin Braun. You know what?
I'm glad you said that. That was me.
He's
I'm
smart.
I'm just Justin Braun. It's simple.
Simple demon. If you're in shit, get it out. Like, off the glass and out. And it's never going to hurt you.
No,
I mean, you might get an icing and it comes back into your zone. But, dude, like, that guy made a career out of he's 100%. Had a great career, and that's what he does. And you know what? Not to get back on the whole D thing, but Bronner was stuck. Not stuck, but he's playing number one. He was playing into a number one pairing.
And he did a damn good job.
He did, but he's never done that.
Right.
You know, and that was, I know talking to him is a lot of pressure for him because he's never had to do that. You know, like.
I thought he did a good job stepping up in there.
I did,
for
too.
What it's worth.
I did, too. Yeah. I did, too. Bronner's a good hockey player.
Yeah.
I was happy to see him get moved so he'd have a chance in the playoffs and stuff like that. He's a great guy.
Speaking of the playoffs, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was fun. I was highly entertained through it all.
Amazing playoffs.
Yeah.
I really
enjoyed it. Nice to see the fans again and all that. And I'll say this. I don't know if it's just me. 27 years old. I'm sitting in my basement. I cry every time the Cups hoist. It's like.
It's hard not to, man.
This is why. We were all 5-4 rollerblading in your driveway, pretending to win the Cup over and over and over again.
Yep.
And then these people are living it out. Like, they're actually getting to do it for real. Can't imagine what that's like. But, yeah, I mean, Game 7, I had 8 different jerseys, different team each night. Sometimes I'd hit the post. I'd be like, oh, they added 4 seconds. He scored!
They added four seconds.
Yeah, it's like I'm kissing the cup, but watching, watching all these players get to actually lift it and hoist it and their reaction to it. It's like I'm crying in jealousy, but and also like I'm so happy for you that you get to do it because we all do. And no one gets to. I said this on the radio the other day and some people caught in and was like, no, every sport does this. You don't get it with the Stanley Cup. Like, you could be a baseball fan when you're 5 and pretend to win the World Series, or you could be a basketball fan and pretend to win the NBA championship. And I'm not discrediting how cool that is when you're 5-6 years old, adding 5 seconds to the shot clock to hit a game winner.
Yep.
It's not the Stanley Cup.
It's
not that feeling of being a hockey player. And that's one thing I don't like to do is be the typical hockey guy because we're douchebags and we're assholes and we look at it as hockey's the best and there's nothing that can touch hockey. And trust me, all the locker rooms I've been in where I want to be like, hey, watch basketball with me, watch golf with me, watch this. I'm like, dude, no, it's not hockey. And it's like, well, open your mind up a little bit because there's, there's some other great things out there that you're just not giving the time of day, and it's beauty in its own way. It's not hockey, you're right, but there's still a beauty in it.
Sure.
The Stanley Cup stance, though, I'll die on that.
Yeah.
There is nothing like being 5-6 years old pretending that hoist that puppy.
100%.
Yeah, right.
It's funny watching, like you say, you kind of get teared up. Even with, like, players, I don't want to say I don't like, but, like, guys that when I was in hockey and you're like, God, like Kadri. Like, I was actually, I was like, wow, man, good for him. Even that, he's never done a thing to me, and I've heard he's actually a great guy. But he just does stupid shit sometimes on the ice.
Yeah.
And I loved how he said, and everyone that said I'd be a liability, kiss my ass.
Well, it's funny, too, with the Toronto storylines with them. It's like the Maple Leafs are just the reaction of them always failing and whatnot. Plus the injury with him added more to the storyline. But, yeah, I think the right team won. Tampa was kind of running out of gas after all these all these runs.
Yeah. I mean,
too many Stanley Cups.
The fact I
wear you out.
I was actually, we talked about this, Riley and I, like, I was shocked. I thought Florida would beat them. I really did in my mind. But boy, did they Vassie's just shut it down. I mean, they were getting, Florida was still getting their chances. They could score on the guy. And Bob was good. And that was the one thing we were kind of talked about. We were worried about Bob in the playoffs. Never really proven himself at that, you know. And he was great in that series.
I thought so, too.
But it's like G took the Flyers' power play a little bit with Florida down there and you know, down
they
there.
They couldn't score.
Not at all. And it's a shame because I was on the I'm rooting for the Panthers as my Flyers because I wanted to shut up all the Giroux haters that claim that he's a losing player and all this, which is just absolutely embarrassing to state. And then it went out the way that it did. And now you're getting some stupid takes out there about how he's a loser for not going to Colorado. Yet you're the same moron who would yell at Kevin Durant for going to the Warriors and joining a super team to win a championship. You're the same person that would rip that apart. Yet you're saying it's crazy.
He's
a great player. Why is it that hard to comprehend that the guy's a phenomenal player?
Exactly. I mean, it's funny too because like they also don't know everything that was going on. On the inside, but they have their comments. And that's just the world we live in. Obviously, you probably deal with a lot more being on the radio.
And I'm probably the one sometimes saying some things about players without fully knowing. To be fair, I have to be opinionated. So I'll say something about Jimmy Butler. Or I'll say something about Ben Simmons. Or I'll say something about some of these guys. And maybe there is some things happening behind the scenes that we don't know about that changes all. And that happens a lot with a lot of this stuff. I know Cal McCarr is something that we saw. And it's all this, you know, Ron Hext, all this and that. And I guess we can kind of snowball into that. I wouldn't say it's an interesting take, but we clearly know that was missed, right? But I guess for me, it would be super nice to have him in this franchise, and he'd be the face of your franchise. It's like I just look through the history of sports, and in every draft in every sport, there's someone who goes 9 that probably should have went in the top 3, or there's someone who goes 6 that's better than 1, 2, and 3, and Dallas didn't take him. New Jersey didn't take him.
Yeah.
I hated that we ended up with the result we got, but at the time of the draft, I can't lose sight that Nolan Patrick was being discussed as number 2 in the draft. Like that was part of the whole hockey world's dialogue. With hindsight, of course, I'm devastated. It was a miss, and it's a flat-out huge miss that changes this franchise, but it's not like Dallas saw this. I don't think Colorado saw this. Did anyone think this was really what he was going to be? So not that I'm giving anyone a free pass, because you can't miss on a player like that. You just can't. But Dallas and New Jersey did the same thing, 100%. You know? It's like, if they all saw it and just the – if McCarr was the most obvious pick in the world and Ron Hextall steps up to the podium and goes, Nolan Patrick, then I think it's more of a debate. But I get it. It's not like I don't see why we're upset about this. It's I just can't cream them because all these teams – didn't see what McCarr was going to be, you know?
100%.
That's kind of where I'm at.
And it's easy to say after the fact.
Exactly. And there's also there's also a lot of things that aren't made public for that were going on, and I'm not going to say it, but things that were going on that did not help Nolan. A lot of things. And not to
You're talking about the injury.
Yeah, and some of that stuff. Yeah, so like I feel bad for Nolan because I don't think he ever had a real shot at being who he could be. And I mean, even this year, he got 2 more concussions, a poor guy.
Yeah, that's not
good. You know,
he's never
had
a chance to optimize.
Right. And he never had that chance. But you're right. Like, 2 other teams missed on this guy. And the reports were 1 and 2 was either Nolan and Ezier or the opposite. Since he was 14 years old, he was ranked the number 1 player. Like, he was supposed to be the number 1 pick overall when he was 18. But you're right. You look at it now, and you're just like, this kid's – Wayne Gretzky said he reminds him of Bobby Orr. I mean, that's a pretty damn good comparison. And it's not me saying it. It's Wayne Gretzky saying it. So
when he's at the blue line, and he gets a puck, and he's flat-footed, and there's a forward coming up to, you know, get in the lane of the shot or whatever. He shifts his weight to the left. He'll do a spinorama. He'll fake sauce it. He'll keep it. He'll rip it short side twine. It's excuse me? What did you just do?
It reminds me of me and Mensley. It's like I'm trying to stand up out there. I'm not doing any of that.
Speed wobble. Whoa.
What happened? I'm excited for like Honestly, I'll make a tape-to-tape pass, and I'm like, wow, that wow. was a great outlet.
I really snapped that thing.
Nice, crisp.
Feeling pretty good about
right,
yourself.
You're behind the net. You see your ringer on the half wall right by the hash mark. Yeah. Your center swinging. It's just a crisp, clean get out of the zone. You're like, yeah.
That's
yeah,
your 20
man.
Seconds. You're
that's
off.
That's it.
Right?
Now I'm off. Now I'm off. We're good to go.
Oh, man. And you
until
know,
the PK comes around.
We had one of the winners, former Flyer this year, got picked up there on waivers, Kubel, yeah, right. Nicholas Abbe Kubel. And when we had him on, there was this thing where he was late a lot of the times. Well, who was the last guy to come in for the picture that had the cup? I want to know where he was.
Yeah, right.
But he
yeah.
was late, and he drops the damn thing and dents it.
Oh, my God. It was
they didn't
so
even,
classic.
Did you know? I bet that's the first time the cup hasn't been sitting up. I know I could still sit up. But I thought it was funny yeah. how they were holding
good
it sideways.
Good recovery, though, by him.
He's yeah,
like,
he was a good recovery.
Like he was supposed to do it.
Swings right in. I'm like,
the picture of them seeing it happen is iconic.
Yes, yeah. It really is.
It built for a good moment, for sure. Someone told me that they, non-hockey guy, saw the cup reaction. I was telling the story that I just told you guys about being younger and all and how much it means to us as hockey fans. And he goes, well, if I won it, I'm not drinking or doing anything. The nasty stuff that's been involved there. I'm like, whoa. I won all the nasty shit.
Yeah.
I won all the disgusting. Like, that's part of the story. It's like, yeah, dude, right? You should see what I did. No, you should see what I did.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the story. If that's going to gross you out, like, what are we doing here, guy? Like,
yeah,
I'm
no,
like,
no.
Dude, I got to pick your brain. You got something wrong with you, I think. If
yeah.
You're like, sorry, you know what I'm
100%,
saying?
Yeah.
He's like, because the picture was, I think it was Johnson woke up with the picture.
Oh, in his bed there, yeah.
Could you imagine what that feeling is like? You wake up the next morning, and the cup is just sitting next to you.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
Bros, I went dude. Up to Mike Richards' his parties. He had two parties. I went up to the one in Kenora, and I had to sit. Now, I was still with the team. This is obviously back a while. But the thing, you're not supposed to touch it. I had to put the seatbelt on the cup. I'm in the back seat.
Was the guy with the white hair there?
He didn't come. It was the other guy.
Okay.
But
that's an amazing gig.
I know.
Yeah, right?
So and Richie got it. Richie actually got it for longer than most. He had it for 2.5 days. I don't know if it was because we were at Kenora, the travel part of it. But we had it basically for 2 days. But the last day before it was they were taking it, we had to go to this golf course and take a picture there. And we put the cup obviously on the green and all this stuff, but I had to sit in the back with it and not touch it because I'm like, you know, the superstition is if you, not that I'm playing for it,
that's what
but
I'm thinking.
I didn't touch the damn thing. Cabby Richards is yeah. sitting there eating Captain Crunch. I wanted to eat Captain Crunch out of the damn thing.
I would have. Now, I mean, if you being
I should've.
In the league, I guess maybe I'd have a little anxiousness involved because of being associated with the franchise. I don't want to be the one to put the jinx on the Flyer since 70, you know, the 70s.
Eating Captain would, Crunch yeah, out of the cup.
Just for Captain Crunch. You know?
I guess
for,
I really wouldn't have had to touch
it.
Though. I could have just
eaten
it.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a different cereal brand. Maybe we're in a different conversation, but.
I, you know, it's funny. I didn't
I
touch it.
It.
I didn't touch it. And then I go to Chief's party, and I'm standing there. We're taking a picture with Chief and Elvis, and Elvis got his hand right on it.
Of course.
You know,
course,
which
yeah.
he should.
Course, yeah.
But I still didn't touch it because I'm like, we're going to fucking win here, you know. Like, and now I can't win the cup. It's pretty
yeah.
impossible for me unless I make a comeback.
Yeah, yeah. Never
you
say
know?
Never.
You know? No, I'm
I've
kidding.
I've seen
but...
you breaking down tape on on equipment yeah. managers
you know,
and Kucherov.
We're
and...
going to talk about that at some
yeah.
point. We got a video for that. The whole, like you said, the whole
yeah,
breakdown of that.
You got to NHL player safety it. Like,
yes.
With
yes.
0.06 seconds on the clock, you got to like zoom into the ref, zoom into the...
Dude, they were fastballs Cooch was throwing at my buddy. Yeah. Fastballs.
Would you be able to handle that? What would your reaction be afterwards?
Well,
you think you'd say something to him?
I've never...
Like, yo, dude, a little out of line.
I would have later.
Yeah.
And I would imagine Kucherov probably apologized
maybe.
To him. But, like, I've never seen... Just take a stick, dude. You know, like, grab a stick if there's not one. I mean, it's happened. It's not like it's the first time, but I do feel bad for him because... I didn't see the whole thing, how when he dropped the stick, when he broke it, but when everyone's standing up, like, if you're short like me, you can't see anything, so you rely on guys to yell, like,
right.
you know, Cooch stick!
You know,
yeah. stick,
know how
stick,
long
stick.
He's been the equipment manager there?
He's been there for a couple of years. It wasn't the head guy. He stands at the other end of the bench, but like I said, there's people there. I actually like to ask Moose what happened, Brian Elliott, because obviously he was right there. Hopefully he didn't get hit with any shrapnel, because
yeah, right.
he was fucking firing those gloves, boys.
Right.
But, yeah, like we kind of talked about Makar already, like just I mean, this guy's ridiculous, but
it makes no sense.
I think he might win more than one Stanley Cup.
Yeah, the only thing I think every time a team wins, the natural reaction is, who's going to stop them, or how long is this going to go? And well, they got bounced in the second round multiple times in a row, so it's not like it's automatic. Especially at this point, Montreal, and this is why the optimism, I guess I'll use the air quotes or whatever, for the Flyers. Not that I think they're going to win a Stanley Cup by any means, but it's just a weird sport. I never thought the Rangers would go sixth in the Eastern Conference Finals, and that happened because Igor, they couldn't score a lick 5-on-5, but power play and goaltending carried them all the way. Not that the Flyers have a Panarin or a Zibanejad, really. Zibanejad's unbelievable.
Yep. Kreider, what a year Kreider had.
Trouba's throwing hits. Kreider as well. So I don't know if the Flyers have that per se, but did anyone see Kreider scoring that many goals before the season began?
No.
So it's a weird sport. The Montreal Canadiens, you had the Dallas Stars a few years back making a run.
Yeah,
you just kind of get hot at the right time. It's not basketball where, and I know I do that though. I bounce around and compare different sports. They're different, but I think it tells storylines. You're not the eighth seed in the NBA playing LeBron James in round one. I saw Tampa Bay get swept by John Tortorella and the Columbus Blue Jackets. I've seen the Toronto Maple Leafs lose in five, and they can't get out of a first round. They lose in game sevens. Like, these are teams that are built. And that Maple Leafs team, they are good enough to win. Now with the formats where your Metropolitan one's playing, not so much one, but two and three, your first round matchup is no longer playing a team that just squeaks in.
I don't like that.
Like, think about how much that means to a team like the Maple Leafs, winning a round compared to not winning a round, and a coach gets fired or a GM gets fired, where getting to the second round matters that much for job stability.
For sure. 100%.
There's so many variables into all of this where you just never know. You just never know with hockey. It's not the NBA where you're facing LeBron James every year or the Golden State Warriors.
Right. I remember Riggs, and you were there. We were the worst team in the league. It was the 40th year of the Flyers. The next year, we're in the conference finals. And I'm not saying we would have won, but we were missing Kimo Thiemann and Braden Coburn and Jeff Carter. We had a lot of injuries. I'm not saying we would have won, but we were in the conference finals a year after being the worst team in the league.
2010.
We were seventh seed.
That's what I'm saying. The Rangers, you ended up having the big time shootout win. And that was Bouchin that doing the celebration and all. Like, no one saw that. Patrick Kane scores the overtime winner. And you just never know. So I'm not... They played bad hockey. I just look at this team, and I don't think that you have a bunch of bad hockey players. Now, you need some more, though, right? I mean, I look at our top six, and I do think they're – especially with the loss of Giroux, there's still some things. I love Couturier and Hayes as your centers. I would love – in an ideal world, if you can place someone above Kutz, which is saying a lot because I think Kutz is great, but if you could have like a number one center, Kutz is your two, and Hayes as your – that's deep.
That's really deep.
That competes for, with some of these other teams. But – one extra element here would definitely push them to a new level, I think. So
I haven't taken a really good look at all the free agents that are coming up. Obviously, we know Johnny Hockey. Johnny Gaudreau is his name's thrown around here. He's from here. We know that you're best buddies with him. But something I wanted to bring up that Baller was telling us about in Pittsburgh. Like, they gave Malkin an offer, and he laughed at it, and then maybe not bringing Letang back. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I keep going back to when Hextall was hired. Who else was? Berkey.
Yeah, right.
And I remember listening to him. This was a while back. This was on Elliot Friedman. He does the 30 thoughts. Is it 31 thoughts? Yep. 32 thoughts? One of the number thoughts.
Yeah.
And I was listening to some. I get so fascinated with how Canada talks about sports. Because I do sports talk radio here. It's a lot different here than that. Like, they talk about. I remember visiting John in Calgary, and their TSN was showing Florida Panthers highlights versus the Dallas Stars. You wouldn't find that once in a while. Would you find a set? Now with the ESPN rights, you do see it more flirted in there, to be fair, but just cracks me up. So I love hearing. I know that's a podcast compared to sports talk radio, but I'll listen to Overdrive in Toronto when they talk. Can you believe Spetch is a healthy scratch? There's not one day I'll be able to start a show off by talking about who's a healthy scratch for the Flyers game two of the NHL season. I love it. I'm just so intrigued by it. But I remember hearing about Berkey. He was a guest on the show, and it was a controversy on, is it time to move on or is it time to keep going? And they were going to utilize that first year to tell the story. And clearly, they're still active and involved. They're on the downslide, but they're still there. But just like I alluded to, if you're getting in still, I mean, we're ruling out Sidney Crosby? Are we ruling out the Penguins? Are we ruling them out? I mean, they're a team that keeps getting there. So, Will Berkey, to summarize, I guess, I don't know if he would allow this to break up if he didn't feel it was right. Like, I don't think he's going to allow Hextall to be the one to choose it's time.
Yeah.
So if they do go down that path, it almost tells me, and this is speculating, obviously I don't know it, but it would almost tell me that Berkey's in agreement that maybe it's time.
It must be, right?
Maybe it's time. Yeah. But I don't think these low balls, I guess, is what they're saying. Or is it fair compensation for where you're at in your career? What is it?
Right.
The name Malkin's a huge name, but he's not 26 anymore. So that's how much can we put into you can scream if you're a Penguins fan, pay him. But guess what? You can't be the same fan in 2 years to be screaming that he's hurting you because you're in hell with your cap because you paid him $10 million dollars a year.
Yeah, he can't be paid that.
No.
Not anymore.
I agree. They must have their eye on somebody if they're considering letting him go, right? I mean,
Letang almost
replaced that.
Yeah, right. And Letang almost surprises me more. Just because he still can skate and he seems to be a pretty effective player for them, especially power play. I don't know. I was just kind of shocked by that.
Yeah,
to be honest
for sure.
With you.
It's that's a franchise that just keeps going, man. Every year you can write them into being in the postseason. And my biggest violation in my Philadelphia sports fandom is hockey's weird for me. Like I love the Flyers. I grew up Flyers and all that, but I'm so around the game that. The love for the Flyers logo, I root for all my friends, you know, whether it's Carolina or it's Calgary or it's Columbus. Like I'm so involved with people in the game that I have other rooting interests where that's not the same for all the other sports. Sidney Crosby just amazes me. We talk about Makar and all this, puck protection, the way he uses his angles to create all sorts of lanes and his ability to cut, and it's just amazing. So I root for him to win a cup. When the Flyers are irrelevant and whatnot, if it comes down to it, if he wins another one, I'm not pissed off about it.
Right.
I just, he's so unbelievable. He's what I grew up in with. I know McDavid's taken over the storylines of the best player in the planet right now, and deservingly so. Maybe Dreisaitl doesn't get enough praise. You look at the box
score.
Oh, he had 8 points tonight? Oh, okay.
Not a big deal.
it's ridiculous. So, but, man, Crosby is...
He's a step ahead of everyone out there still. And I tell people a lot of times, bros, I was so fortunate to be on the bench for so long. And when you're that close and you see the tiny little things, normal fans just don't understand the play he just made and how good it was. I mean, just little deflections, picking up horrendous pass, you know, which a lot of guys could do that.
Using a skate or something to kick it to a stick.
Yep. G's really good at that. Drew can pick up any pass. But Sid, he does those little things, and those goals he scored against us where he's 5 feet to the side of the net and someone takes a slapper, but did it on purpose, and he just angles his stick. And I know, well, a lot of guys do it. Dude, he does it all the time. Like, this guy just – it's like he's a step ahead of everyone, and he thinks that he sees what's going on. But
it kind of makes me laugh, though, because when I put myself back into when I was playing the game, and I see why there's a huge difference in some of the – you know what I mean? Like, I never put it to the test of, you know, to the level that you're talking about, like the angle change and the defenseman using the stick. Like, I'm worried about making the tape-to-tape pass and all this stuff. Like, there's a reason why I wasn't a goal scorer. I'm a stay-at-home defenseman, so obviously I'm not working on those parts of the craft, but – if I did, could I added an offensive part to my game? But I never brought my, you know, I was so focused on what I needed to do to be my role. And I was a role guy, so I'm not going to make it seem. But I'm just saying, when I talk to my friends who are still going and this and that, I'm like, you know, there were so many parts of this game that I see the difference in where things were separated a little bit. I'm okay saying, hey, D3, NCAA, I had my fun. My junior days were great. 3 years, aged out, wouldn't want it any other way, baby.
Yeah.
I enjoyed all of it. But, you see the difference sometimes. Yep.
100%.
Yep.
And if you watch this guy's practice habits, he's – you know, obviously one of the best practice players, but he gets on there.
He's already
the first
full
guy
trained
out there. Yeah, he's picking up bad passes. You know, he's doing all these things that pros do, but, like, he's an elite player already, and then he continues to optimize his game by continuing to work on little things over and over and over and over again. That's what makes him the best, right? It's not just, you know, riding natural ability. He's constantly refining and working on it, and he's unbelievable. I mean,
we were just down at the show, Riley, and I, at the trainer show, P-Hats, Spem, and we were talking to one of their trainers is, and they were like, oh, he's already in full mode. Like, he's
already, huh?
Yeah.
That's why McKinnon's where he's at, because those two guys are
100%,
like this.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. You look at the, you know, the top 10 elite guys in the league, and they have the same consistency of how they practice, how they prepare, how much effort they put in, getting on the ice early, staying late. And this is all, you know, stuff that you expect guys to do, but, you know.
The consistency of it's not easy.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and
right.
Like, look, the last thing I'm trying to do is compare where I was at. But, you know, in the summers, we'd skate with Johnny and all, and it's like the details of when he's coming down the wall, and I'm just trying to keep my gap or whatever, but you could see the intensity of what he's working on and what he's trying to do and utilizing my stick and trying to go inside out to create a little bit of separation and things like that. It's like you could see it in his eyes, the focus level and determination, and to do that every single open skate in the summer.
Right.
Well, I'm out there like, boys, let's have a good time.
Yeah, yeah, right. Off the glass.
Shot the beer.
Off the glass. Yeah, yeah. Filling up the water bottle, throw vodka in there to see what guy chokes on the bench because they think it's water after a shift. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
But, yeah, it's just, it's the difference. It's cool to think about that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, that's, that they're wired differently. They're wired differently 100%. When they get to that tier. Putting up 100-something points in a season. You kidding
me?
40
man.
Goals,
100%.
75 assists.
It's insane.
100%. And, you know, you look at the guys that have, you know, high-end ability that maybe get complacent towards the end of their career, and they slowly kind of fall off, right? I mean,
right.
Yoggs is a perfect example, too, with the Flyers. I mean, this guy was insane. He was the hardest-working guy.
4 years old,
he'd
yeah.
come back at the rink late at night and shoot, not even pucks, but he'd shoot rubber tires.
Yeah,
I heard he's the craziest dude in the world.
You know, but,
he
like, that's
nuts,
the only
man.
Way to optimize that level of play is to continue you put in the work. And
I heard he
backskated
himself with weight vests.
He wore
40-pound
weights. But I'll tell you, it was funny because when we were going on the road, he would say, "Nas, make sure my weight vest is in my bag." And I'm like, "Well, that's a fucking 60-pound bag now."
Yeah.
So we always kept – we had one at the practice rink. We kept under his stall, and then we had one at the game rink. And when we traveled, I'd take it. So he came in the one night after a game. We had won, and he picked it up, and he was like – "Oh, boys," he was really funny too. Like, he's always, he goes, he had it in his hands. He goes, "Boys, I don't think I'm going to wear this one again. I only had 3 points tonight." And he throws it in the bag, and guys are like, "You fucking wore that?" And he just starts dying. He's like, "No, I didn't wear it. It's a 40 pound. But, like, to what Riley was saying, I remember us playing, I think in Jersey. We played in Jersey. It was a weird time. It was like a 5 o'clock start. But either way, we go to Boston. And by the time I finish getting the gear done, it's like, you know, 1 a.m. I'm coming back to the hotel. Yoggs is coming in from a jog, from a run. Like, we just played a game. And we play tomorrow at, you know, in the afternoon. And he went for a run. But he used to take these golf cart wheels, and he would shoot it like 20 times off the wall. And then he had his weight vest on, and he would sprint all the way down this long hallway that's at the skate the Flyers, inside of the Flyers side. And then he'd come back in, wait a like minute, and go back and do it all again. And then when the last men's league game was done, he would go out, and the kids that worked there would feed him one-timers, and he would just shoot the
puck. Don't you think at some point, though, that maybe I'm new school with the sports science and whatnot, but at some point you're overdoing it? You know,
oh,
what 100%.
I mean?
Yeah, point of diminishing returns,
yeah.
For sure.
And it seems like he was probably at that level, but at the same time, he had the career that he had, and I guess maybe just feels that at some point at his age, although he was probably doing this when he was 18, 19, 20, 21, too, at the same time, but once he got to some age, it's like, if I take a day off, my body will probably tighten up to a point, in his eyes at least. I don't know. I'm trying to get into the brain of Yager.
Yeah.
How hard is
right.
that to do? But I don't know. It just seems like at some point, it's like, dude, take a day. Like a
yeah.
day. I know people mock an off day, a rest day, this and that. What do you mean you get paid all this money? But to some extent, man, like, I, you know.
Oh, they need
gotta,
it, especially in hockey, man. You play three games
yeah,
a week. 100%. Three to four games a week,
yeah.
really.
And Yoggs is still from that old school, you know, yeah. Era, obviously, right? I think the guys like Crosby, the guys were talking about McKinnon and all these younger guys, there's a lot more emphasis on recovery, to your point. Yes, you put the work in, you know, the extra work, the skill work, all this other stuff. But yes, I mean, I think these younger guys are more wired for those days off and focus on recovery, regeneration. I think Yoggs comes from that old school era. You know, there was no emphasis on recovery when Yoggs came in the league, man. It was just like, you know, you come to training, yeah, you come to training camp and training camps.
Well, now training camp is different to a degree of, at least you're seeing this in football, but it's like you're expected to come into camp in shape
instead
of you're coming to camp to get in shape. Although I do believe Torts is going to make a statement.
He's going to make a statement.
I'm not going to lie. Well, this was a little off the ice stuff, so it's not the same. But, man, towards the end, those goalies were giving me a run for my money during some of those suicides.
Oh, Rhodes gave, you were dying?
Dude, I'll tell you what. That last year, that's when I – which is a hard thing for us to admit when it's time, you know? But that last year for me was when I started to realize, like, man, I am not – like, I don't care, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't care that I'm this far in the back during some of these suicides in training camp. It's like, maybe that's telling me, which is, look, I loved my career, and it's just, it's weird because with us, we don't know what we're going to do when hockey's over. It's such a big part of it. And that's why I love this. It's like, I haven't been in a locker room setting in quite some time, and I don't think I'd be the same person without the locker room. I was dancing, showers, this and that, goofball. Like, I was the nut job that everybody needs to keep it loose. So it's a big part of my personality. But when I think about it, I was lucky enough to go from hockey transition to – I had such a passion for sports talk radio, such a passion for sports broadcasting that I knew where my next steps were. I got a lot of friends that their career ends. There's a year or two where I don't 100%. Know what I want to do, this and that. It's like, where am I? And a lot of them did get back into coaching, which is cool now because you're starting to see they're working at their alma maters for whether it's like high school or something, they're coaching there. And it's cool to see that kind of stuff. But it was a weird – that last year of mine, my sophomore year, I was like, dude, I don't care that I'm starting to get beat by the goalies and pads. Like, woof, woof, woof. And the meetings with the coach after that was a little. Yeah,
but I can imagine.
This is weird, too. My last year, I played 4 games out of, like, 25. I was health bombing. By one point, it's like you kind of know where you're at, right? But my favorite coach ever. Isn't that crazy?
He was
like,
your favorite
coach. My favorite coach ever was the coach.
You played 4 games for him?
Yeah. Well, my freshman year, I played 8, but I broke my thumb, which I missed all. So I played the first game of the year, and then I went on a nice run, broke my thumb, and then, I played my freshman year, I played game 1 of the year. Then I broke my thumb blocking a shot in practice on the PK.
Ooh,
had surgery. And then when I came back, I played 7 straight. So it was like, for me, freshman year, that's whatever.
Good.
I played 7 straight, 8 total. Then the last year going into camp, it's like, all right, I see kind of where I'm at here, and I don't have that passion anymore, which is just kind of crazy for me because it's all I ever knew. And then, the relationship off the ice, I could go into his room, just talk the shit with him, and he was so cool, and he was the one that really pushed me into sports broadcasting because he was Rhodes, I don't do this all the time. When kids are in your position, I always inspire them to not give up. It's like, I recruited you for a reason. You have an energy here. You're a locker room guy. Like, you matter here. I get it. Everyone wants to play, and maybe we can work on some things to get you more playing time junior year, senior year. Like, we love you here. And he was making that very clear and all that. But, like, when I see that drive of when you talk to me about sports talk radio and what you want to do and how you speak about certain things about what's after this, it's like, I gotta push you into a direction of doing this because I you have it, and I can't hold you back selfishly of wanting you to be this locker room guy here where I just see that fire in your eye. And
respect that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, some people look at that and it's like, bro, you sure he just didn't want to get you the hell out of there? But no, I still talk to him every day. He listens to my shows. Like, no, our relationship wasn't one of those where I could see where maybe that sounds that way, but it was definitely on such a deeper connection than that. And I just never heard of someone talk about a coach the way I do about someone who is struggling to get playing time.
Yeah,
but it goes a long way for me that I'll never forget, and I still talk to him and value everything that he's done for me throughout, you know, those 2 years when I was playing NCAA. Right. So
that's awesome.
That's amazing, yeah. I mean,
it's not easy when you're not, you know, it's not easy. It's a grind for 100%. Sure.
Mentally. Testament to him. I mean, if you're a great coach, you always want what's best for your players in their personal life as well as on the ice, right?
Especially at that level, too. Not to knock D3 NCAA, but, you know, when you do keep going after that, you play a couple years in maybe the Southern Pro, or you play a couple years overseas, and then after that, it has a ceiling to some degree. Not that you can't ever make it. Of course, there are some people that do go D3 to the A and keep grinding and whatnot. But, I think at that level, there is a realization of what is the long-term here of the player too. So for whatever it's worth, I know we kind of jumped all over the place there, but
I got to agree with him.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. You do a hell of a job, and think you were definitely put on this earth to do this.
Well, thank you very much. Really. It's been a crazy journey. I remember when I was super young, getting involved into it all. I used to have a notebook, and I would study the host I loved nationally, locally, things I loved, things I didn't love, and I would cross out things that, not that I would copy off of, but it's more of molding who I was going to be based off of things that I think works and things that I think is unique and what I don't like about those people that I think I want to shy away from and all that. So that's when I started to pick up the realization of the details of, I'm not listening as a fan anymore. I'm listening as I want to perfect this craft, to kind of tie it full circle of, that is my equivalent of focusing on switching your angles up when coming down the half wall to look for a high glove shot or a short side shot. It's, you know, ooh, that was an interesting tease heading into the break. You know what I mean? Yeah, right. That kind of stuff. So.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's an art.
Yeah,
it is, and Riley and I still haven't figured it out, because every time we finish a show, Debo and Baller are like, oh, boys, fuck, sure you don't want us to just jump in your seats, because you guys are – but you're right, man. It's you do a great job, and you're fun to listen to, and I like that you get to do all sports, because I love all sports as well. Like,
yeah, I love it too. And one thing that I do take a lot of pride in, and it's no knock on anyone in the business, but hockey's tough. It's tough to dissect heavily – especially as a casual or a little bit above casual, where, and I get this a lot on social media when I am on the air, is, you know, I'm breaking down a 3-0 loss where I'm talking about a line change in the second period where you should have got the puck deep, but there was a turnover inside the blue line in the gray area and your gap was off. Unless you're in those moments and in the trenches of realizing what it's like to have to stop on a dime and start skating backwards to keep your stick on puck when someone with speed's trying to beat you wide, like, those are details that it's hard to know about because of the speed of the game.
Exactly.
And it's fun to have that separation and the uniqueness of something that I can provide that isn't as common in the business in this market. Because I always thought with the Flyers growing up, especially nine, like, it was the talk of the town. Flyers was Lindros, LeClaire, Recchi, all this stuff, even bleeding into the early 2000s and all. It's hard to talk about them now, and it's lost so much pop. So I'm doing my best to bring the pop back.
Yes.
Well, you do a hell of a job. You know, your shit. You put you put the time in, but I think most importantly, and it's no secret, you bring the energy.
Yeah.
Bring the fire.
You have
dude.
To, man.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. You don't want to be too monotone and boring. There's times for that, right? But the amount of times, like, bros, you're screaming again. I know.
Bring your thing.
Yeah. It's a 3-0 loss. What do you want me to sit here and just say, like, oh, it's all great. It's all dandy. Yeah. No, they lost 3-0. They got shut out again. It's their 8th loss for the 2nd time this season in a row. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to sit here and say it's all right?
I know. I hear
you. What's Chuck Fletcher going to do here?
Well, bros, we appreciate you, man. Yes, on the trek, man. Here in the studio.
Get home and get the puppy.
Yeah, get the pup out.
We don't need any anxiety.
Yeah, she's something else, man. This dog... For the side story here for the people, got a puppy, severe anxiety, separation anxiety and all. We rescued her. She also, scariest moment of my life. I don't want to end on a sour note, but I guess here we are, just smoothly going into a transition. I let the puppy out back, right? There's a dog next door, and they run the fences all the time. And it's like, all right, not a big deal. Like, oh, they have their fun. Rottweiler grabbed her nose through the fence and, like, yanking on it for a good 2 minutes. And I'm sitting here, like, screaming bloody murder at the top of my lungs. The whole neighborhood was watching this happen because I was screaming. People probably thought, like, if I heard someone scream like this, I'm like, someone's in trouble. I got to figure this thing out.
Right.
My neighbors are jumping the fence. So not only does she have severe separation anxiety and she was rescued, she had dental surgery. They had to remove part of her jaw and stitch it back up. And she's like 6 months at this point. She had parvo and she had to leave early on when we first got. This dog's been through everything.
Major trauma.
But yeah, so we got to do some sort of my fiance. She's waiting for me to get back so then she can leave so someone's home for the dog at all times right now. But we started to bring her to that fetch place where it's almost like doggy daycare. She's loving it. Tongue's hanging out. So, it's all part of it, man. It's all part of it. Yeah, it's doing well now.
Good. Beautiful. Good. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, fellas.
Appreciate you, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, bro.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.